This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You can hear us live on Joy 94.9 Saturday afternoon from noon via the live stream at joy.org.au/listen live. Or tune your wireless in Melbourne to 94.9.
Love your afternoons. Joy 94.9.
One, two, three, four.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, nail it, grade it, change it, point it to me, press it, snap it, work it, cook it, roast it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quickly write it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, tip and zip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, code it, jam and lock it.
Good afternoon, beautiful people of Melbourne and all around the world. It's 4 minutes past midday and it's TechnoGaze. Here where we gaze into the world of consumer electronics, gadgets and technology here on Joy 94.9. I'm Raina. And joining me today, according to Jim, is my voice, I suppose. We have Michael.
Hi there.
And we have Mark.
Hello.
And the lovely Ty is joining us again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Oh, afternoon.
Good afternoon. Oh, gee, good start.
Can I just say, I take exception to being... This is not techno babble, all right, Jim?
Oh, Jim.
I mean, we talk about tech.
Sometimes it's just techno babble.
It's a lovely day, though, isn't it? Nice.
It is.
Sunny. Good for Melbourne Day. Happy birthday, Melbourne.
Melbourne's
79 years old today.
No. I wish I looked that good at 100. I'll know next year, won't I?
I reckon she's had some Botox this way.
Yes.
It is beautiful. Now, today, of course, we'll be talking about all the latest tech news. We've finally heard from Apple about when they would like to have their next announcement.
Mm-hmm. What are they announcing?
Oh, my goodness. Who can say? It's September 9th, which is the worst-kept date secret, I think, ever. We'll be talking about some of the rumours that are hovering around that, some of the Samsung announcements. A few other companies have things going on.
Sam who? What?
Sam what? And Amazon's Fire Phone.
Ah, yep. What an interesting name.
It is.
Failed there first.
Phone. Hopefully it's not got any of those bad batteries in it.
That's
like the ones
right.
that catch fire. No, it's not a Dreamliner.
Now, lots of news coming out of gaming in the last week or so as well. Quite a lot of angry behaviour from some people and some backlash against a few noted reporters there, which is not much fun. ASIC. Our own ASIC has been trying to protect us by blocking websites, but might have accidentally done a few too many.
Oops.
And a few other bits and pieces as well. But if you are a fan of us on Facebook, then you will be looking forward to this one because goodness knows we've been talking it up all week. A new Ralph Lauren shirt that you'll see during the US Open, which has multiple benefits. One of which is that it monitors your heart rate, breathing levels and movement. But the other is that it certainly does seem to be easy on the eye, doesn't it?
It's a very nice fitting polo shirt.
Right.
So if I wear it, I will look like that?
Wearable technology.
That was a rhetorical question, by the way. No need to answer. It's fine.
And if you are following us on Facebook, you would perhaps be able to go to the link to the lovely model shots of this particular shirt. So feel free to jump onto Facebook and like us.
That's right. You can actually find us on all kinds of social media if you search for TechnoGaze Joy 94.9.
Correct.
But definitely give us a bit of love on Facebook, especially if you are Pamela and Andrew, who are our latest Facebook page followers, and of course all the rest of you too.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely like you back.
Yep. Can we have contact during the show? Are we allowed to talk to the people?
I think
we are.
Are
allowed to talk to us?
They are allowed to talk to us, and you can do that by sending us an SMS 0427-JOY949.
Nice.
What else can you do, Michael?
Well, you could call us and leave a message with Heath on 1300-JOY949.
Mm-hmm.
I see you can email on onair@joy.org.au.
That's right.
Is there another one that we can do? I'm just trying to fill in here.
Mark, what's our Twitter address?
Yes. Twitter is at TechnoGaze, TechnoGaze.
It's written everywhere, and yet we still manage not to spell it sometimes. No, sorry, it's just me.
Well, with the gays without the Y and the S.
We're the gays with the Y.
Well, you know, it's... Yeah. Anyway, we're not going to go into the justification behind the name of the show.
We gaze into the world of, you know,
that's,
stuff.
Oh, that's right, yes.
So what stuff are we gazing into first?
Oh, get around this Fire Phone. Now, Amazon have been trying their absolute hardest to get relevant, and my goodness, they are in a lot of ways, like, you know, buying things online and their amazing shopping platforms and so on. But the Fire Phone, which has been out for a while, using Amazon's, you know, proprietary sort of Fire interface and all the rest of it, has not, in fact, set the world on fire, as they say. Oh, great.
Boom, boom.
Are they going to have a fire sale?
Well, they might have to.
Oh,
they haven't released. They haven't moved many units, have they?
No, there is an estimate from a fellow at The Guardian who reckons that they've only sold 35,000 Fire phones at a maximum, possibly fewer.
Now, it's only been available, been shipping for a month, I think, so it hasn't been around that long.
Yeah, but this is like a massive online retailer. You'd think they'd have the market power, at least, to push it into everyone's baskets or whatever if they're going to send it out. Maybe they'd give it away for free if your basket's signed. Maybe
they've been dropping their prices on it, and that I don't think that's helping.
Not helping. Well, maybe they'll give it away to Amazon Prime customers for free or something like that.
Well, this is the phone that we were talking about that time where it had that feature where you could take a photo with the phone's camera and say, I want this thing on Amazon, and it would look it up on Amazon based on, I guess, the name of the product and a few other fancy-dancy things.
Yeah.
Does it work with those new connected shirts?
Order me that and the shirt.
You're obsessed with
the
shirt.
I'm in the shirt.
You just can't move away from the shirt story.
You're going to be selling this for the whole hour, aren't you? Guys, it's a shirt.
But with biosensors in it, it measures your heart rate. It might be good to measure Michael's heart rate when he sees the picture.
So are they going to just on the Fire Phone?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes. It's just not going to work. They're going to have to give up, aren't they?
Surely. I don't know what they would do with all of those units. I don't know how many they manufactured to begin with.
There's a whole bunch Android clone phones, I guess you could call them, of, you know, really cheapy sort of, like, maybe it's just gone into that category where, you know, they're just not going to be able to push them out.
Well, it just doesn't seem like it has
something. That was such a faffled, loaded statement. All these cheap Android phones.
Right. It's well known that the market that Android represents is a much broader market. It's a broader church than the Apple.
But there's only one right church.
Correct.
Hey, it's pretty early in the show for that.
Mark's Sermon 101. Oh, no. Should we move on? Probably. I don't know.
I don't know. Look, I read a couple of reviews after it finally came out, and in fact, VentureBeat, which I think is where we got this story from, had their review as well, and they were like, oh, it's nice. You know, they were sort of...
A bit on the fence.
It's nothing earth-shattering, is it?
No. Shame. This does sound pretty cool, though. This is from Intel. They have revealed the world's smallest wireless modem for the internet of all the things.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's a little bit bigger than a US penny.
Yes.
It's probably like a 5 cent. Actually, it's a little bit bigger than maybe the size of a 10 cent coin, something like that.
Yeah, I think so. It's I can't remember the last time I saw a penny, to be honest, a US penny. But it's
300 millimeters square, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a full 3G modem.
So this is for the little devices that we're talking about, you know, that might just sit around your home. You might have one that's monitoring the temperature of your fridge, for example.
One attached to the curtains in your lounge room so it knows when to close because it's getting too hot.
Yes. And there's been talk about products that would be like trackers for your children. Maybe they, you know, to put them in there, put partner. These. Sorry,
tracker for your partner.
Well, partner,
a tracker for your partner. Yes.
If you would like to take it to that level, definitely.
Yeah, that's when they remove it from themselves and put it onto the neighbourhood dog, and you go following them around.
But the constant challenge with this is having these devices connect to anything meaningful. In order to have them provide data back to you, they need to be able to connect to something.
So this chip enables it to be like anywhere, really. If you can put a 3G card in it,
If we've got 3G coverage, then and a lot of, you know, the population is covered by 3G. Particularly in the first world, anyway. So, yeah, why not? I think it's probably a good thing. Low energy requirements as well.
You absolutely know where your car is at any given moment. You can install one in that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody's driving it off down the road.
Well, no, I got back from the airport the other night and just I was like, I put it in long-term parking, but I didn't really take any notice of where. Like, I didn't note anything down.
That is a big car park, isn't it?
Yeah, but it would have to do, actually, it would have to do height sensing too. Anyway.
It should be noted that it is specifically designed for, you know, Internet of Things. So it is just about getting data and, you know, pushing and pulling that data on a sporadic basis, not on a constant connection to maintain a voice.
You're not streaming YouTube on your curtains is what I'm saying.
Cool idea, though.
That would be pretty sweet. Now, there is plenty more tech news right after this here on TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9.
TechnoGaze. Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's a quarter past midday here on Joy 94.9's very own TechnoGaze. I'm Raina, and we're here with Michael, Mark and Ty talking about all sorts of things to do with technology, bits and pieces.
We had Peter from Brighton call in.
Yes.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Peter. About Grindr.
Yes, this is an interesting bit of news that's come up this week as well. So, some of the users of Grindr can be identified like right down to their location.
Really?
And it's not real. It's not super flash. So it's, you know how like you sign into Grindr or indeed any of those other dating apps and it says, oh, so and so is, you know, 2 miles away, but it doesn't tell you 2 miles at this many degrees at this corner, right? Mm. It just says they're pretty close.
Because you can send that. You can do a map send and it'll show that user exactly where you are.
That's your choice.
That's right.
That's right.
But this is something.
This is something quite creepy. So if you're not even signed into the application, you can find the actual location of any Grindr user to within about 100 feet. Mm. Now, 100 feet is, you know, here in Melbourne, where we're lucky to, you know, live in a fairly liberal society, is not so bad. Mm. You know, especially I mean, within 100 feet of Joy, you know, I wonder if there are any Grindr users. Mm. But
room.
That's right.
On that note, can I do a show of hands? So who got a message this week from some anonymous Grindr user saying,
oddly enough, not me.
Of course, Grindr is a male-centric app, isn't it?
Yes.
I hope so.
Or and some genderqueer as well. But, it's...
I got one. I got the message.
Three out of three males.
I just thought it was like a virus or something. Like
we did spam.
Report and spam. And
it was, because it came from a blank profile.
Yeah, and it said, turn off your location.
And always, you know, if you see a whole bunch of links in the message, you think, oh, this has got to be spam. Mm. And I would say that if it was Grindr themselves, as in the mothership company, sending out this information, then they would mark themselves as being from Grindr and show themselves as having, you know, some sort of authority. But the tricky thing about this, so it's actually... It's not that hard to do this anyway. Like, there are certain phones or platforms, I should say, that allow for you to change your location as well on the phone. So if, you know, Grindr relies on GPS, as in a phone function of GPS, you can hack your Android phone to actually change the GPS location that you're phone thinks that you're at.
So I can change my phone to say, instead of being the Joy Studios, I'm across the road somewhere else.
So you can just see different people.
I've literally had friends of mine who have used that and said, oh, you're at this location right now, and I'm like, yes, and that's very creepy. Like, because you are showing your location.
Or, right. You know. Now, 100 feet is about 30 metres, right? Now, you can sort of go, oh, yeah, you know, I can check out what's happening in Sydney, whatever, rah, rah, rah. But what's probably a little bit more disturbing is that some of the people who have been able to make use of this have been able to identify users of the service in Iran.
Right.
Nice, yeah.
Which is not so flash.
No.
Quite a few other sort of places where that is not a popular thing to be doing. People inside various parliamentary buildings and stuff, so, you know, may or may not be out, may or may not be members of parliament, who can say. A few mysterious things.
Yeah, it's a bit concerning, I guess, when it comes to that. I mean, I personally don't really care at the moment. I'm not too concerned. If someone wants to find me, they can find me. you know...
I don't know if anybody's looking, mate.
As soon as my personal security is being breached, that's another concern completely. Right. And I will be on the phone to the cops. But, yeah, when it comes to authoritarian states like Iran and so forth, that is a big concern.
Particularly not so popular in Russia at the moment either. And here are a couple of examples on a couple of websites of people. Mm. It's not cool.
It's a funny thing because I saw the message and I just ignored it very quickly. Like you guys, you know, it's spam. But I did notice some GPS locations in the embedded URLs that came through. So I thought, maybe
now
it's true.
Can I unban it, get the message back? I want to analyze it a bit more now.
I'll have to check
Well,
out.
I did turn off my location on there. So I figured, you know, it doesn't really matter that much and better be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was a strange one.
Yeah, even with the location off, though, I mean, you can also look at the other profiles around you because it's always ordered in distance.
It just doesn't say it's sort of, you know, 3 metres away or
so I can assume that if you're next to the person that is 800 metres away, then you're probably 750 metres away.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's neighbour. It's very neighbourly, isn't it, the application?
It's good to have a street party.
Look, it always makes sense to stay safe online. Street party.
I must say, I did meet a neighbour through Grindr and we've become good friends.
I bet you did. That's the whole idea of the application. Yeah. When you say meet. Anyway. Moving on.
Indeed. Okay, so in any event, Peter from Brighton, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, hopefully you're staying safe out there as well.
Yes.
So keep
Turn off the location. If you are concerned about it, turn off the location feature.
When you say
on
safe.
In the sense of, you know, just if you're in control of who knows where you are, stuff like that. There's all kinds of staying safe, you know. Yeah. Watch across the road, you know, look both ways, etc.
If it's not on, it's not on.
That's right. Apple. Oh, God, Mark. Apple have finally locked in their next announcement for September 9th with a cutesy little hint saying, wish we could say more, wink, wink.
There wasn't a wink, wink on it, but that would be really cute.
I just heard the wink, wink as soon as I read it.
There must be a wink, wink emoji or something.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They probably use the emoji sign for it. But, you know, what does a wink mean, actually, in today's speak?
What are they going to announce? What are Apple going to release?
It must be a surprise, surely.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean,
guess.
Who could possibly guess? Well, it turns out that there are so many rumours going around anyway.
What are your favourites?
So a larger iPhone, so 4.7 inches for the smallest of the two new phones and 5.5 inches for the largest one.
Right.
So the current one is about 4 inches wide on the 4 inches diagonally, I think, on the screen.
Right.
Which today is really small compared to, you know, most of the Android phones that are sporting close to 5 or 4.5 inch phones.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So is that they're trying to get that market share of obviously the people who find that kind of screen size more beneficial?
Yeah.
It's just a phone. It's not really set my life on fire, Apple.
It's not a phone.
It's just a phone.
It's your life.
So we know. I know that. But when I say phone, I meant internet and also, you know, social applications. But what else are they going to do? Anything exciting?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I want a TV at home, an Apple TV, like a big... Can they do that?
A huge one. I don't think so. No, I think they're going the other way. They're looking for something small that you can put on your wrist.
Oh.
So the much-rumoured iWatch.
Oh, I would love an iWatch.
Me too. It would be so great.
What do you think they'll do?
I think they'll chuck it on your wrist. I'm not sure.
All the time, I'd hope.
Look, they've been talking about this for ages. Like it's like waiting for Christmas, you know.
It's almost like the Apple television, you know, the big screen that you're talking about. Everyone's talking about it. If the iWatch doesn't come out this time, is it ever going to come out?
You could have said the same thing about the phone when the iPhone came out back in 2007. There was constant rumours about it.
But not for years.
And everyone was saying, oh, no, it's just not going to happen. It's just they're not doing that. They're a computer company. No, they're not anymore.
Not anymore. Their whole life.
A watch company.
It's just one of the things. And so one of the things that's pointing to the watch rumour is a patent that was recently published by the US Patent Office that was actually applied for back in 2013 or filed back in 2013, but it's just been made public this week over a wireless charging technology.
Ooh, from Apple. Really?
Yeah.
Now, I have an issue with this.
Michael, start rant now.
Why does Apple decide to come out with a patent over technology that already exists, over which there is a standard that has been applied and used by other manufacturers called QI.
Yes, and we've talked about that before, haven't we? The option, and some other manufacturers are doing it already, aren't they?
Yeah. So why are they coming out with their own Appleized version?
Well, that's what Apple does, isn't it? They want to make it their own technology so that you're... And they want to make it better than everybody else. And arguably they do. Sorry. Hello. No,
hi, I'm an Apple fan.
Not yet, but not until they don't do it right and then they just manage to fragment the whole market.
Hmm.
But, okay, but when was the last time that happened?
VHS.
What, as in Apple capitulated to standards? I don't think they... Well, maybe
until they came out with something that didn't work.
Well, when they came out with something that didn't work, that they... I mean, arguably iTunes on Windows is one of those things. But aside from that, I mean, they
At least it didn't delete your folders.
Right, but like so thinking about the Lightning and Thunderbolt standards, for example, they just don't give a rat's about, you know, oh, USB, who cares? Like,
yeah
stuff like that.
It should be pointed out that the Thunderbolt standard is actually a standard, just no one else is really picking it up.
That's right.
There is a difference with wireless charging. Definition? Because automotive manufacturers are looking to put wireless charging bays in their cars so you can drop your phone into, just throw it in, don't worry about having to plug it in to charge and stuff like that. So, you know, you're creating physical things, and if you're creating multiple standards, then you restrict your customers into, oh, I need to buy that car because I've got that type of phone, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've already
started. It's by design that Apple do this.
Yeah, I know it is.
They've started doing that with the integration to their entertainment units as well, right? Like the Apple ones are very specific manufacturers.
Yes.
As opposed to general.
Yeah. And that is going to be pretty interesting, I think. I think we're probably going to see a little bit more about that later. Certainly with this one, we're going to see some stuff about iOS 8 at the very minimum.
Yes.
And Yosemite, which is... I still haven't tried out.
No, I'm waiting for the full release. I don't know. I don't want to do a beta. And purely because the features that are in there that I really want are features that will only really work when it actually goes full production, full gold standard, or whatever terminology.
The one to flick something from your screen onto your computer, from your phone onto your computer.
I can't wait for that feature. I really can't wait. But the connection, going back to the wireless charging and the watch thing, there's a lot of connection between that because apparently that's a sort of a prerequisite for Apple to do a watch is to have wireless charging. The reason for that being a design reason of ensuring that it can be an enclosed...
They don't have to put a port on it.
Yes. And having to plug a watch into something at the end of the day is a bit silly, right?
I know, because what you really want to do is take your watch off at night, put it on the bedside table, and pick it up in the morning, it's fully charged.
At the end of it all, the most important question is, can Grindr go on the watch? That's...
Michael, have you researched this yet?
As we often ask on this show.
Does it run Grindr?
It's like the new Can It Play Quake?
Does it blend?
Does it blend? Does it freeze?
The product does not exist yet, and therefore pre-release reviews are embargoed.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Now, there has been a bit of a rumour getting around as well about Apple thinking about a... you were calling it a maxi pad, which I was finding really uncomfortable, Michael. I think the iPad maxi was what they were shooting for.
iPad maxi pad.
Isn't maxi pad a technology thing, or am I missing something?
It's... No. No?
We had a very long...
I mean, yes.
Yes.
You can find it...
Oh, that's awkward.
You can find it in the bathroom aisle at your local supermarket. Right, so...
sorry, guys.
Not sure about that. but it's somewhat bigger. So at the moment, the largest iPad you can get is 9.7 inches. This is 12.9 inches, and apparently that's what they're gearing up to get it in amongst, which I think is really interesting because I thought iPad sales were declining and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, but maybe they're thinking that they're declining because there are, you know, competing screens out there that are bigger.
Mm.
Do you want a bigger screen? Why don't you let us know? 1-300-JOY-949 is the number to call, or send us a text, 0427-JOY-949. And while you think about that... we have some very important things to tell you, so don't go too far here on TechnoGaze.
TechnoGaze.
And we're talking tech, obviously. Now, I know we do talk about Apple a lot, but can't really forget that that Microsoft released the Surface 3.
What's that?
You know, that tablet thing.
The tablet that we sell that everyone loves?
Oh, you know, I'm not a hater of the concept of the Surface, and I believe I'm on the record as well as saying that I'm not a hater of Windows 8. That's right. I'm outing myself on air right now.
So the Surface Pro 3 is apparently going to fix a few things. Because we're talking about this is the Surface, which has started its days with the Surface RT, I think it was, which was like a really sort of dumbed down...
Oh, a hinky little thing.
Couldn't run very much.
RT, really trash?
And then the... And then the Surface Pro, which was all right.
Which was number one, and then number two's come out.
Yeah. Now, the Surface Pro came with that cover that, you know, it was a bit hard to type on. You could only
fix the
screen.
So there was the cover that became a keyboard as well?
Yes, and you could only have the screen at a certain angle and a bunch of other stuff that just made it not quite as good as a laptop, even though they were really shooting for that. But this one, the Surface Pro 3, they are thinking that they're going to hopefully solve a few of those problems. So the screen angle, bits and pieces like that. I don't know if this doesn't sell.
Well, what's interesting is
I think that's it.
They're putting it up against the MacBook Air in terms of spec-wise. And
that's right. And we've seen them offer that before as well. They had that offer going a little while ago where you could trade in your MacBook Air for a Surface Pro.
Yep.
Was it a Surface Pro or a Surface RT?
Surface Pro,
it was about the same time as uni started back as well. So it was really sort of going for that student-y sort of market.
How many Surface Pros did you get for your one MacBook Air?
I think you only got one.
Not even, no, it was like a cash, you could actually use it as a voucher to go towards the purchase of or something.
Really?
Because, yeah, you can. The other thing about the Surface Pro 3 is you can, or the Surface Pro, I should say, is you can spec it a little more, you know, granularly than you can your typical Apple product.
That's right. Screen size, does anyone know what it is?
No.
Off the top of their heads, no. I personally haven't seen one yet. But although we did just get an email from listener Andrew who says, "Hi, guys and lady," in relation to the iPad. "Hi, guys and lady, don't need a bigger screen. 9.5 inches is more than enough. Going any bigger, you might as well get a small laptop." That's not usually the way I hear that sentence ending, but...
Raina.
What?
Are you making a euphemistic joke?
This is a...
Okay. I might be.
So for the Surface Pro 3, there's a bit of an identity issue as well.
It's about that size as well, though.
It's the size of a MacBook Air. It's typically got a keyboard attached to it, even though you can pull it off and just use it as a touch device as well.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it a laptop or is it a tablet? It's kind of trying to choose between both.
But that's the whole paradigm with running Windows on that type of device, is it? And it's trying to be, it is trying to be both. It's trying to say, you know, if you want me to create content, I have a keyboard, I can do that.
Yeah.
Do you want me just on the lap in front of the TV where you just want to have a look at things? And yeah, I can do that as well.
Now, it's still a little, it's a little bigger than the iPad Air. It's a little bit heavier than the iPad Air. But it does also have, you know, a proper grown-up Core i7 in there and stuff like that. So it sounds like it's going to be a pretty exciting bit of hardware. Yeah, but again, like, what's the point of all that hardware if you're just pretty much going to sit on the couch watching Game of Thrones or whatever and talking to your mates?
Well, true.
You know, it just seems like an awful lot for something that maybe you're not really going to...
It's like you're not doing, unless you can do the really full-on video editing on it. And
yeah, what's the point of all that? Battery life apparently is okay. Geez, I hope it... I don't know. I hope people actually like it, because I can't help like feeling that if this can't sell, then we won't see any more Surfaces ever again.
Well, Microsoft are trying to push towards a product and services company as opposed to a software company. So I don't know that this would be the last attempt at that. Anyway, they're probably still seeing it as being a fledgling part of their business.
Yeah.
Right? It's sort of... You know, they're trying to get their feet established. And with the news, Satya Nadella.
Satya?
His background is definitely in that space. So, hey.
I wonder how much of the success or the take-up of the Surface is related to the underlying operating system. Because, you know, Windows 8 is nowhere near as popular as Windows 7.
I still love it.
Yes.
And a little bit.
Yeah, but that's the thing. There's nothing in there that grabs you that says, oh, I really, really want this. I need this.
That's true.
So is this product more likely to take off when there's the next version, Windows 9? And assuming that that's, you know, good, then...
there's the rumour that that's not too far away, is Windows 9, and that they're going to be picking up the pace on their releases, because obviously they're seeing how, you know, how poorly that's worked for them in the past.
Yeah, well, I think when the current product is bad, you release the next one quicker, and when the current one is good, you just delay and delay and delay.
Hence, Windows XP is still super popular.
I'm going to fly the Microsoft flag again there. I think they're trying to move to a quicker product cycle in general, right?
Yep.
As you know, there are current issues, but I suspect that the Windows 10 will be pretty quick off the mark as well compared to, you know, the difference between XP and what was the one after that?
Vista.
Vista. Yeah.
Yeah. You tried.
I put that out of my mind
after that.
You tried to erase that from memory, but we all know. We all know.
It's interesting in terms of these software life cycles, because, you know, Apple has been releasing OS X on a yearly basis, quite regularly. The from a browser perspective, you know, start off probably more with Chrome and now Firefox, doing continuous releases.
Yeah.
So there seems to be this, let's upgrade feature more often rather than have this monolithic, oh, you've got to wait 3 years before the next one.
Yeah, and the old way of thinking at Microsoft with a whole new OS release was, you know, a very software developer was thinking, oh, we're going to replace the entire file system. You know, yes. We're going to replace the entire subsystem of blah.
Yep.
And that created a whole bunch of issues for them when, you know, they tried to actually implement that and found that it was buggy as hell.
Good luck to Microsoft, I say.
Yes. Indeedy.
Yep.
Now, moving on to a bit of gaming news. Now, there has been some pretty disturbing stuff happening over the last couple of weeks with a number of gaming personalities being harassed and in some really ugly ways.
Mm.
Now, one of those people is Anita Sarkeesian, who I think I've mentioned on the show before, and I think we may have mentioned on Sci-Fi and Squeam a few weeks ago as well.
Yep.
So she's a blogger and a media critic, and she's been bringing out these videos called Tropes Versus Women in Video Games. And they're all about, you know, well, here's a game, you know, here's a trope that's used, and here's how it's, you know, probably not so flash in terms of, you know,
the treatment.
Yeah, the treatment of women, you know.
Humanity.
Exactly. Now, for a number of reasons, we don't have to go into a ton of detail, but there is a lot of awful stuff being levelled at her.
Mm.
Threats and all the rest of it, you know, and, you know, comments about what she's doing, and, you know, people going, oh, it's a conspiracy, oh, it's corruption and blah, 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 which is, you know, honestly a bit beyond a joke, but it's actually getting really ugly.
It is.
So she was actually forced from her home this week because of people sending her threats with her genuine actual address.
Oh, really?
And that of her parents.
That's dreadful.
It really is. Now, often when this happens, people are like, oh, yeah, gamers, oh, they're so sad and all the rest of it. But here's something that I think that has been happening that is really good, is that when you have characters who are doing that sort of thing, you have sites like Polygon and The Verge and all the rest of it going, well, you're not welcome here. You have Kotaku and stuff going, you're not welcome here. And now our very own games at on.net, or games.on.net rather, has just come up with this really, it's an absolute ripper of an editorial going, you know what, if you are so threatened by equality, you don't belong here either.
Yeah.
That's it. They've had enough, which is great, I think.
Yeah, point. And so the editor wrote a post, Tim Caldwell is his name, pointing out the, like, a few examples, including Anita Sarkeesian, Zoe Quinn
as well.
And he also described the ridiculous situation. So just with Assassin's Creed 7, they introduced an option to change your gender as part of the sign-up process. And I believe it was just male, female as choices. But just the introduction of that, so just to be able to choose your characters being female instead of only male, caused a whole heap of vitriol, whole heap of, crud.
Assassin's Creed 7?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
It
may be the seventh game.
That's what you pointed to.
That's what I pointed to?
No, in the post.
Mm.
I'm not a gamer, so
it may be the seventh actual game, although, like, they've got this weird numbering thing. Anyway, but no, I just thought of it because there was actually a joke game called Assassin's Creed 7 that got announced last year. Anyway.
Hopefully it's not.
I don't think he's talking about that. But,
yeah,
look, it's possible that he's actually also referring to that prank, because that was the thing about the prank. They're like, you know, oh, blah, 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 you can play as a woman, and people are just going absolutely spare over it. Mm.
Yeah, look, people's reaction is the thing where the vitriol...
Exactly,
like,
that's the point.
Why?
Yeah, why would you get so furious about it?
And I guess the significance here is it's games.on.net. It's actually a pretty decent platform or community local to Australia.
Yes.
You know, it came from the Internode sort of their own free zone area, which is now owned by iNet. But, hey, it's still a very viable sort of community to go to for your gaming stuff.
And it's good that there's somebody standing up and actually saying it. Mm. And we need more people to do that.
He's literally said, here's the door. If you have a problem with LGBT people being represented, if you have a problem with, you know, feminism or women, thinking that they are destroying games, the words he's using, then get out. Just don't go to the forum. Don't post.
I've been a long time proponent of the idea that it's really up to media organisations now to say, well, you know what, we don't care about page views as much as we care about keeping a good environment around here. And you have so many websites where, like, the comment section is just this feral cesspit of misery and awfulness.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, that's our engaged community, blah, blah, blah. No,
That's just
do you not want.
Yeah, and I guess it will enable safe havens in a sense. I guess, you know, communities that do allow for people to feel comfortable will be the places to go.
What right? you shouldn't do as a gamer is ring a SWAT team on somebody that you're playing with.
That's enough.
There's a live video stream at the moment that was posted during the week on YouTube, captured a truly terrifying scene where heavily armed members of a SWAT team burst into the office of Jordan Matheson, who was in Colorado, just playing a game, and they were playing Counter-Strike, and somebody playing against him has called the SWAT team saying, yes, he shot a few people, he's got an armed hostages. They've burst into his room, and of course it's being streamed on Twitch, and so you can watch this SWAT team entering, and of course if the SWAT team and the police ever find who did that practical joke, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. Don't do that, obviously.
I wonder if the people he was gaming with at the time would be high on the suspects list.
And then of course, you know, they have to see how anonymous that is. And
it's one way to win a round, I guess.
It's a bit over the top. Because that can end badly too. Because they're a bit, you know, especially if they think they're walking into something that, and if you're a gamer, you might have some, you know, replica guns, I don't know.
Or something. Or who can say? You know, if you start screaming or whatever, or, you know, you've got people in the house, who could say? And it's, I mean, this is happening in America. Like, there's probably a few, you know, gun owners who are ready to defend themselves when they hear someone banging down the door.
Well, that's the other thing, too.
That could end really, really poorly. I mean, can't we just stick to pranking people with pizza orders and stuff? Like, come on. There's a delicious pizza at the end.
That's right.
Come on.
Yes, if anybody wants to prank me with a pizza, feel free. I can cover it.
Indeed. It is 18 minutes to 1 here on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Technogaze. We'll be right back.
Technogaze.
Back to the technology. ASIC.
Yes.
Our company regulator.
That's right. Are out to look out for our safety and all the rest of it in terms of scams and frauds and all that sort of thing. And in the pursuance of that fine goal.
They are eager, aren't they?
They really are. They're super eager. They accidentally blocked 250,000 websites because they weren't really sure how IP addresses worked.
Oops.
How many were they intending to block?
Not many. 30 or something.
That's not a bad hit ratio when you think about it.
Whoops.
So how did they... I mean, I understand that they didn't understand IP addresses, but why then is somebody who doesn't understand that making decisions on what to block?
Well, there you go. I'm not sure. Look, what they were trying to do is block, you know, there are websites out there that are like, oh, you know, send us all your money and we'll send you more money back. So, or, you know, we'll send you a Russian bride or whatever it is that they're talking about. That people have fallen victim to, and I guess they just, I don't know. I know sometimes I get some very specific requests from people to do a certain thing a certain way, and they are pretty insistent that it must be blocked that way, and they don't necessarily want to hear it.
Yeah,
when you tell them no.
This is not the first time that this has happened either for this type of IP blacklisting stuff, either by the Australian government.
Or any government, in fact.
Wouldn't you think they would have figured out by now at least some sort of process to ensure that whatever they're doing is actually not going to affect a whole bunch of
legitimate sites.
Yeah. This happened last April. Apparently, they had done it before, but the sites that they blocked weren't exactly popular and nobody complained, so they didn't know they did the wrong thing.
Right.
And, you know, it just shows that they think, oh, if I block an IP address, that will take down the site. Well, you know, that IP address may be used by other websites that you don't want to block. They've stopped blocking. And I think they're probably working on some sort of process to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Because our lovely government are always on the ball with this sort of stuff.
Yes,
aren't they?
But you know, happy for stuff to be blocked that shouldn't be seen, like really nefarious stuff.
Nefarious stuff, absolutely.
Hey, speaking of the government, Senator Ludlam.
Oh, yes.
Because we're all a bit hot for Scott here in this room, I think. he's got lots of questions for his
election.
Hot for Scott.
So Scott Ludlam, of course, is the communications spokesman for...
For the Greens.
The Greens, yes.
That's right. And he's relatively savvy. And something that I think was entertaining this week is that he asked Senator Brandis, who, of course, is the Minister for Arts, the Attorney General, a bunch of other interesting things, about what he does.
Sorry, I was about to insert my own names then, and I probably shouldn't because that's
there
a bit
you go.
Mean.
Anyway, Senator Ludlam asked, well, you know, what's going on with all of this mandatory metadata stuff? And it was a pretty amazing series of questions, and said, given the minister's description of what metadata is, will you agree to publish your own metadata for a period of 1 week? Because after all, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear.
Oh. Good question.
I thought it was a good question. Senator Brandis did not.
It's because he didn't understand the question, I would have thought.
Probably.
Hang on, I still don't know what metadata is, mate. Come on, give me a break.
Now, the metadata thing, of course, comes from, there's been talk about keeping a whole bunch of metadata about ordinary Australian citizens like ourselves. And, of course, the government saying, oh, metadata, it's just stuff about what you're looking at, but it's not actually what you're looking at. But it seems like maybe people are not necessarily always as good at maybe explaining their understanding of it, and Senator Ludlam is one of them.
Or lack thereof.
Yes, well...
It goes to the point of not actually having that term, what metadata is, defined yet. And I guess, you know, what better way to get it defined than to ask the person who is promoting this particular policy...
That's right.
You know, to show us his own. That way we'll know in no uncertain terms what we're going to get.
Yeah. Right.
It's a good question.
I think that's a little bit shady. Like, surely if you're going to legislate for something, then you should be fairly clear about what it is that you are asking for you know, enshrined permanently in Australian law.
Even when the flag is going up the pole, when they're even just trying to work out what the policy is, they should be able to, like any competent government, any competent, you know, agency or whatever, should be able to define what it is that they're talking about.
I mean, I'm okay with the you know, politicians not knowing exactly everything about everything. That's why they've got a support team and we pay taxes.
Well, where was his support team to brief him?
Then that would be my next question.
They might have been sending him an email, but apparently Sladen doesn't have a computer on his desk, so... I don't know.
He still gets Mr. Brandis, out. You mean?
Yeah, sorry. Yes. Mr. Ludlam certainly does have something on his desk.
He's amazing. He's got like YouTube presences and Twitter presence.
Yeah. Loves his internet slang.
Probably have a maxi pad in the future.
Oh, come on.
That's not technology, right?
Yeah, no. Yes, it is technology.
Indeed. It was very entertaining.
Yeah. So,
Who isn't answering their email at work, though? Germans, maybe.
Well, maybe, yes.
Oh, after work. This is pretty interesting.
What do you speak of?
What do we speak of? A story floating around this week that suggested that in Germany they are thinking about putting a ban on after-hours work emails and calls to reduce your you know,
stress.
Work burden. Yeah, yeah, your stress and all the rest of it. There are a lot of studies that suggest that people are constantly switched on for work. Yes. And, I mean, I think I'm one of those people sometimes as well. You know, I'll just have a sneaky look at the old work email.
Well, I'm definitely one of those people.
And if you're one of those, like, game players as well, you might be like, oh, I'm going to answer this email at 10:30 instead of waiting till I'm there in the morning so everyone can see what a dedicated person I am.
Ooh, I don't like that.
I don't like that either. I think that's a bit scummy. But I'm sure there are people that are out there doing that. Because there has also been that sort of study where they go, well, why do you do it? Well, I do it to save face.
Oh, really? People?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
This is how naive I am. If I'm sending an email at 10:30 at night, it's just out of practicality.
Right. It's, you know, you're doing it because you kind of have to or whatever.
Well, let's just get it over with and move on.
I think the worst thing of this trend is if employers expect their employees to be doing this.
That's true.
Because, you know, I'm paid to work and I may have flexible working hours, but I'm paid to work a certain, you know, duration of time and I shouldn't be expected to put more than that in.
Obviously Germany thinks that government can legislate this.
Yes, so it's being framed as a OH&S issue for them. Okay. So, and I mean, I'm sure you can imagine if you're quite stressed out, then you are going to be not as productive at work. You're possibly going to be a bit of a burden.
And I suppose that means that they can use it, I don't know what their unfair dismissal laws would be like, but if, you know, that there is an expectation and they can approve that an employer is wanting you to answer emails after hours, but then they have this policy, then that's a...
That's an unreasonable expectation on your safety, then I can't imagine why that wouldn't be a grounds for, you know, something. I don't really know a lot about what's going on in Germany as regards to that.
The biggest problem with this, of course, is how do you enforce and monitor it? Because one of the things that I find annoying, and it started off when I had a BlackBerry, and even now that I've moved into Android, is I would love to be able to turn off my work email on schedule. So these emails didn't come in and the phone didn't ring and I say, oh, it's a work one, it's a private one, and do that type of thing. That would be really nice.
The only way I did that when I was doing office work more so was go on holidays, I actually have to delete the email account, which is impractical.
Yeah.
The iOS platform does have a do not disturb function, which can turn off all the alerts and stuff.
But not on a single email account.
Yeah, so no more Grindr notifications for you. If you want to turn your things off after work.
My problem at the moment, specifically to work, is we have a bug in one of our programs that's sending an email once an hour when it shouldn't be, so my phone rings every once an hour. It's like,
you need to fix a bug.
Yeah, well, that's right. This is the incentive for someone to fix a bug.
Now, isn't it true as well, you work with some teams that are in other time zones anyway. Like, isn't it going to be a bit tricky for you to not answer your emails after hours sometimes?
Yeah.
If there's a proper crisis, you can't make them wait until, like, it's 10
p.m.
their time.
No, but then I think there has to be different ways to escalate those crises. Yeah. So it's not just, I hear a buzz on my phone, I check it.
We'll see how the Germans go, and then if it works, we can adopt it.
We had an SMS from an who said, hi guys, in France it's now against the law for employers to contact employees after hours. Yes and no. This was a deal struck between two different unions. It only covers about less than 500,000 employees in France, so it's not the whole of France.
Right.
Because a lot of people like to poke fun at France because they, of course, have 35-hour working weeks and good stuff like that. But yes, it's only between two sets of...
lovely pastries.
Employee unions where this has been agreed to.
I still think that would be pastries. Nice to spread it around.
Great champagne.
Sorry?
Grand champagne, yeah. No, I think that's a great thing to spread around. I think that would be a really lovely, precedent set, and hopefully some other people will join in. In the meantime, though, I mean, I guess for you as an individual out there, listener land, or, any of us in this room as well, I know I have to work really hard sometimes to switch myself off from work, and it's doing me a great number of favours.
It's a good thing to just turn off all devices, even for social stuff as well.
Get away from the screen.
Why somebody wants to call me?
Oh, that just sends me into anxiety as soon as you say that. What, disconnect from everything? Are you kidding? What am I going to do?
You can actually get a phone-shaped slab of plastic that is about the right weight of your phone.
We talked about it last week.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
You missed it. I'm sorry.
I am sorry.
But have we got to the clothing?
Oh,
we have to do the clothing really quickly.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my goodness.
You're listening to TechnoGaze. It's 6 minutes to one on Joy 94.9. We'll talk about some very tight-fitting shirts right after this.
Four minutes to one here on Joy 94.9, and we are, of course, coming to the end of another hour of TechnoGaze.
And as usual, time goes way too quickly.
It really does, but we are not letting you go without telling you about these amazing shirts.
This has gotten us very excited, hasn't it?
Well, you can tell, because in the prep notes, Michael, all you've written under the link to this story is
benefits.
Pleasing to the eye, pleasing to the eye, pleasing to the eye, pleasing to the eye, pleasing to the eye.
That's right.
If you want to see the photo that Michael's referring to in that respect, you can jump onto our Facebook site.
That's right.
And it's only visible if you like our page.
But what is it? It's a Polo Ralph Lauren shirt. It is going to be used in the US Open for ball boys and ball girls to wear. And
no, not
monitor.
Ball girls, only ball boys. Oh. Ball girls are excluded.
Oh, why?
Yes, I don't know.
I know.
That's a bit ridiculous.
And it's only for certain ball boys.
Ripped.
Oh.
But I think they're doing it to monitor the conditions that the ball boys are under. Because especially great if they did it at the Australian Open, because it gets really hot for those poor kids.
It can get close to 50 on those courts.
However, the really appealing thing is when it moves on to the players, because they're the people that we're going to be perving on. And and we were thinking that possibly if you're getting those sort of biometric readings back from a person, you could use it in other areas of your life, like the boudoir.
So I would love to have, like, in a certain situation, I might be having intimate relations with a certain person.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And, that intimate. Just intimate.
Well, no, because you'd have to take the shirt off eventually. But
wouldn't it be cool to have the information as well? Maybe not as you're doing it, each of you wear a shirt.
Where's the romance?
No. This is all about technical.
We're talking about after the fact. We can analyse the data.
So I see at this moment I did this. You didn't really enjoy it because your heart rate didn't go up.
But then when I was at this rate, you were at that rate. Let's try and work on this.
Big data.
We're going to pitch that to Ralph Lauren for the next model.
It's the ideas.
Who's going to be the beta testers?
We will always put our hands up.
Oh, dear. Now, there were a couple of little bugs with the thing. One of them was that a Ralph Lauren spokesperson said that when they were demonstrating this and somebody was running but their heart rate didn't appear to go up, it's not because the model's heart rate wasn't going up, because they weren't sweaty enough.
Oh. So you have to be sweaty at the same time.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
This limits the number of intimate situations that I could use this in.
Oh, indeed. Indeed.
No, you might need a little spray water bottle to make sure there's proper contact between the electrodes and the skin.
Oh, you guys.
Bless. We know too much about what Mark gets up to now.
Oh, and so will Polo Ralph Lauren, I imagine, if it's all cloud-enabled and stuff.
Yes.
Could be a cloud-stored history and whatnot. That is sadly all we have time for today. If you missed any part of today's show, or perhaps you're looking to peruse previous episodes, you can do so by browsing to joy.org.au/technogaze. We also post them on our Facebook page and whatnot as well, so you should definitely check them out. Coming up next is the 1 p.m. news bulletin with Jim, followed by Cravings with Pete Dillon. Thank you for joining me, fellows.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
For having me.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Ty.
Thank you.
It's been great.
It certainly has been great. Have a fantastic rest of your weekend, and we will catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
Happy birthday, Mel.
Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.